The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Testing, testing. Stand to your feet as we get ready. Amen, amen. That's just good news to know that God is keeping you. Come on, somebody. Amen, 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 and amen, amen. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for how you've been keeping us down through the years, how you've been keeping us, Lord, and watching over us. And Lord, we're just thankful today. We're here to acknowledge the fact that if it had not been for you on our side, we don't would be. But Lord, we thank you keeping us in, keeping our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Amen, amen, and amen. Lord, we love you today. We extol you and we magnify your holy, your precious, and your righteous name. Now, Father God, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, that God hide me, the seen, and see that you would be heard. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And it's truly in Jesus' name. And for Christ's sake, every heart say amen, amen, and amen. As we get ready to stand, as we get ready to read the word, I'm going to ask that you would stay standing, amen, if you're physically able to do so. Again, the scripture will come from the book of Isaiah 59, the book of Isaiah 59, the 19th through the 21st verse. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible on today. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who was upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouths, watch this, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Do me a favor, do me a favor. I don't know what you got going on today. I don't know what it took for somebody just to come to church. I don't know what it took just for somebody to be here on this morning. You don't know either. But do me a favor, encourage somebody and tell them, neighbor, God's got your back. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody else, say, neighbor, God's got your back. Amen, amen, amen. Not only is he keeping you, but say, God's got your back. Amen. We don't know what somebody has to go back to on today. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen, amen. And amen. Let me start out by saying to somebody, I don't know if I'm talking to you or the person sitting next to you, but don't fool yourself on today and think that just because you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, that it exempts you from being involved in troubled times. Don't think that it exempts you from difficult dilemmas and messed up moments. Even when you are moving and even operating in God's will, does not mean that the enemy will never sin, trouble your way. Come on, somebody. But isn't it good to know that when trouble comes, when hell and havoc come your way, isn't it good to know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Tell somebody, God's got your back. Amen, amen, amen. I'm reminded of when the children of Israel had to come to seem like to the end of their journey on the banks of the Jordan. Moses told him, he said, you all go on ahead. Then they began to wonder, however, what's going to happen next. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:6, that the Lord said, tell them, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. In other words, God is saying, I got your back. That's why he told us in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. Then in that same passage in verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. In other words, the Lord was saying, Miller, I've got your back. You see, I'm talking to somebody. Whenever life presents itself with ever-changing variables, we've got to realize that we serve a God who is stationary in his godness. See, y'all missed that thing right there. See, I said his godness. I know we talk about God's goodness. Come on, somebody. But I said he's stationary in his godness. In other words, you can't spell good without God. Amen. But not only is he stationary in his godness, he's also an unmoved mover. For I heard him tell Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, he said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Another Lord, the Lord was saying, what? Come on. He's saying, I got your back. Y'all ain't talking to me up in here. Amen. So many times, we got folk who look high and low, scour the pages of social media, looking for folk who have their back. But I don't know about you. I've been on this Christian journey just long enough, and I've discovered, Deacon Farris, some things about some folk. I've discovered some disheartening and discouraging news about some people. And what I've discovered, Lampkin, is that there's some folk who will fade far away when the fire gets too hot. Discovered that even some family and so-called friends will forsake you when times get hard. But I heard the Lord say in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're going through, but it's just good to know that God's got your back. So as I move to the text here in Isaiah chapter 59, there are three clues. You see, we got a whole lot of church speak. Amen. And so we got a lot of stuff we say, and somebody will say, you know what, neighbor, God's got your back. And folk get all emotional and they get all tickled in their spirit. But somebody needs to know what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Not just here to give you emotion. I'm here to show you what thus says the word of God. And here in Isaiah chapter 59, Deacon Fitzgerald, we find some clues. Find some clues. We're not just up here with church speak. We up here standing on the word of God, and there's some clues in this sliver of scripture that assures us the security of knowing that God's got our back. First, what I want you to see is right there in verse 19. First point I want to make here is that the reason we know that God's got our back is because God has sanctioned a spirit to lift up a standard. Y'all don't hear me in here. Amen. Listen. If you know anything about floods, whether experientially or maybe observing on television, perhaps in the news, then you know that when the flood comes, no matter how many sandbags you put up, No, how matter how big the dam is that you build, water just has a way of getting in, getting over, and getting through. Amen. And when the water does, listen, when the water makes its way over the sandbags and maybe over the walls of the dam, it has a way of engulfing everything in its path, has a way of overtaking and overwhelming everything within its reach. I don't mean to be insensitive about this next reference, but think about the recent images of the Bahamas. Think about the images of the Bahamas and the amount of damage and destruction caused by the recent Hurricane Dorian. Well, watch the text here. Watch the text because there's a picture here. Remember, I'm in the Old Testament. Old Testament is the language of what? Hebrew. Hebrew is a language of pictures. Watch the text, because such is the case with the enemy in our lives today. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but no matter how many sandbags you put up, more, no matter how big of a dam you tried to build around your life, the enemy, just like flood waters, has a way of getting over, getting around, and getting through. He has a way of infiltrating and penetrating right through the very fabric of our lives and wrecking havoc. But watch the text here. It says here that when that happens, says the Spirit of the Lord, y'all don't hear me in here, will lift up a standard. Let me suggest to you on today, similar to the message that God gave me on last week, and that is, we can't get so wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in what the enemy is trying to do to us. You just need to know that God's got your back. What are you saying, Pastor King? Here's what I'm saying. God has sanctioned. In other words, he has approved. He has authorized. He has allowed. I'm teaching in this house. The Spirit to come to rescue us, to lift up a standard, which means that he has authorized a means of support on our behalf. Teach, Holy Ghost. He has authorized the Spirit, the Comforter, to bear us up in times of weakness. Romans 8 and 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. In other words, as the Spirit lifts up this standard, it is in actuality lifting up the very excellence and the authority of God. And because we are partakers of his Spirit, you and I then have a right to walk in God's excellence and his almighty power. Because we have that right, doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do to you, you can rest assured that God's got your back. Why? Because he's put up the standard. He's put up the very excellence and the authority of God. Listen, you know what the other word for the Holy Spirit is? It's paraclete. Amen. That means he's our attorney. He's our defense, Sister Cargill. So every time the enemy tries to come against you, you know what? The Spirit then intervenes. The enemy then won't actually be able to touch your soul. Because when the enemy chooses to come at you with his fiery darts of doubt, disbelief, disappointment, the paraclete rises up in your defense. You best believe the enemy goes to God all the time about what you're not doing as a child of God. The paraclete rises up in your defense. So every time, watch this, the enemy comes your way in an effort to overthrow you, the Lord by the Spirit jumps up and says, no, not him, not her. I've got his back. Every time the enemy tries to remind you of your past failures, Dante, the Lord says, no, I got his back. Every time the Lord tries to remind somebody here of your past hurts, of your past heartaches, the Lord says, no, I've got your back. Why? Because he has sanctioned the Spirit to lift up a standard against him. But wait a minute. Well, that sounds like that would be plenty enough. Amen. Watch the text, because there's more. And another reason that you know that God's got your back is right there in the text. It's because the second thing that the Holy Spirit showed me is that he has reinforced us with the Redeemer. It's right there in verse 20. Not only has God sanctioned the Spirit to lift up a standard, but watch this, he has also added to our strength by reinforcing us with the Redeemer. In other words, God has fortified our position by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus, as our Redeemer. You need to know today that the truth of the matter is Jesus didn't come not only to redeem us from our sin, he came to redeem us from the hand of the enemy. That word redeemer here, that comes from a word that means avenger. It means deliverer. It means purchaser, or one who ransomed. Therefore, that fact is evident that God has your back. Why? Because he has allowed Jesus, the Redeemer, the Avenger, come on somebody, the Deliverer, the Purchaser, the one who was ransomed his life to pay the price at Calvary in order that you and I might be redeemed. It's just good to know. It's good to know, not just good church speak. It's just good to know that we have a loving Redeemer, one who was willing to stand in our place. For it's because of Christ's redemptive work that we have a right to eternal life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he took my place. Amen. That's why sometimes you got to be able to give up a good shout. Say, everybody can't sit and pout in church. He took your place. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I'm glad he took my place. I'm glad that he hung, bled, and he died. And on the third day, he got up with all power in his hand just for me. But not only did he die for our sins, he actually paid the ransom for you and for me. But the Bible lets me know that one day he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's coming back for you and for me. So watch the text. Don't stop. Don't close your Bible. Watch the text, because notice who he's coming back for. That's why you got to debunk all this stuff when folks say we going to heaven anyhow. You got to debunk all this stuff when you say folk can say you can get to heaven any kind of way. No. That's not what the Bible says. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's coming back from those who've turned from their transgressions. That's word. Amen. Those who have turned, in other words, from their sin. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, those who have turned, he says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Am I talking to anybody who's found out that if you are standing on God's word and God's will, you won't have to worry about the enemy? For every time Satan tries to come your way, you find out God's got your back. How do I know? You inhaling and exhaling. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. That's evidence enough that God's got your back. And watch this. And the one thing this commander in chief, y'all don't hear me in here. The one thing about this commander in chief is that he won't have to call up the armed person. He won't have to activate the National Guard. He can just simply allow the Redeemer, y'all don't hear me in here, his son Jesus, to step in right on time. And you can stand on his word and his will, and he will reinforce us. Amen. Lord says, no, I don't need to build no wall. The devil can get in over the wall. Matter of fact, y'all building walls, the devil is on the inside. We need Jesus. So you want protection? I'll send the Redeemer. Amen. And he'll come in. and reinforce you. Watch this. When the enemy puts anger in your spirit, the Redeemer will reinforce you with some kindness. When the Redeemer puts discord, teach Holy Ghost, in your spirit, the Redeemer will reinforce us with some peace. When the enemy puts hatred in your spirit, the Redeemer will reinforce you with some love. But you can't give what you don't have. And that's why hate begets hate, unless you got the Redeemer to reinforce you. Because you can't do this stuff on your own. You need to be reinforced with some love. So he has sanctioned the spirit to lift up a standard. He has reinforced you with the Redeemer. That sounds like plenty, but guess what? There's more. Because the biggest thing that we get from this text is right there in verse 21. The third point I want to make is that he has covered us in his covenant. The final point of this text assures us of the fact that God does indeed have our backs. He has covered us. He has sheltered us and secured us in his covenant. Watch what the text says. It says, as for me, says the Lord. This is the Lord talking. He says, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who was upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth nor from the mouth of your descendants. From the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Verse 21, right here in Isaiah, is the reaffirming of the covenant that was given, teach Holy Ghost, to the forefathers before the coming of the Redeemer. He gave this covenant even before the Redeemer had come. But we're in the New Testament, amen. We are the New Testament church, which means what? That means the Redeemer has already come. And since Jesus has already come, since he's already redeemed us, then Hebrews 8 and 10 becomes a personal confirmation of his new covenant. Watch the text. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's personal. So Griffith, let me get this straight. Then if he is my God and I am his child, then not only does God have my back, that means God's got me covered. Jesus, God Almighty, wait a minute, you mean to tell me that I can walk out of here knowing that not only does God have my back, but God's got me covered, amen. So listen, Sister Miller, I added this as you were praying and I was praying too. I thought about that text in Psalm 91. Watch this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, y'all don't hear me in here, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. And he shall cover you with his feathers and under his wings, and you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Amen. Tell somebody, neighbor, God's got your back. Amen. Amen. And ask your neighbor, how do you know? Amen. Tell him, because he's got you covered in his covenant. Amen. Amen. And amen. That means God has got you wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus, not foolishness. Amen. Amen. God's not only got your back, he's got you covered. As I get ready to close, watch the text. Psalm 23, 4 through 6 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, come on somebody, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. High five somebody and say, God's got my back. Amen. 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 Listen, 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 listen. Listen, listen. God has sanctioned. My God. He set it up. He's already approved to lift up a standard. That means that while everything is going on, not anything can just happen to you. There's some standards because you're a child of God. And that's why we need to have some standards. Amen. That's why we got to be careful talking any kind of way. Not as a child of God. Didn't say you were perfect, but we got to be purposed. So we got to have some standards in our conduct. Just can't act any kind of way. Amen. Can't give everybody a piece of your mind. Give them some peace from your mind. Not only has he sanctioned us to lift up a standard, he has reinforced us with the Redeemer. So when you feel like you can't take another step, when you feel like I just can't make it another step, you got reinforcements. And we are here today not because we've been so good, not because we've done everything right, not even because we've been so strong, but we got reinforcements. That's why we can't take bows for what only God can do. Because truth be told, we won't tell it, but truth be told, some of us gave up a long time ago. But when we look back, you see one set of footprints in the sand. Not everybody walked in here on their own 2 feet. Some folk walked in here carried. But the last thing is he's got us covered in his covenant. That's good news. That's good news. I don't care what you're going through. And we all going through something. We all have something that we have to deal with. I don't care how heavy the burden may be. And I know, I get it. And even if family turns their back on you and so-called friends forsake you, you rest assured the God's got your back. It's rough out here in these streets. Unfortunately, our schools are becoming more and more like battlegrounds. Some schools, you got to walk through metal detectors. And some schools wish they had metal detectors, or they would have been able to detect some of that foolishness and violence that went on with the mass shootings. And while we're trying to politic and trying to advocate on either side as to who's got rights, we're still not doing stuff right. Because we don't understand the rights that we have been given to the tree of life. This is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual. And the devil has been distracting us and distorting everything that's going on. And God has said, listen, listen, listen. I am the unmoved mover. I am the stationary in my godness. I don't change. And while things change around you, I'm still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it's not as if God is not aware of what's going on. Even the devil is God's devil. I don't care what anybody says. The devil is one of the angels, and the angels were created by God. But there's a reign that God has given to even to the devil. But as a child of God, he's put a leash on him. And just like when he had that conversation with God about Job, he said, yeah, you can do this and you can do that, but you can't touch his soul. Because in essence, he's saying that about every one of you as a child of God, because their soul belongs to me. No one can pluck him, her, him, not out of my hand, not as my child. Listen, there was a ransom paid for her and for her and for him and for him. Even those ones that are cantankerous, the ransom was made. We have to choose to receive. Still a choice. Still a choice. And we live by choices that we make every day. So there's a word I want to send you out of here with. Stand to your feet as we get ready to go back out, go back home, go to our activities. Tomorrow, the Lord willing, some of our young people, they got to go back to school. Some of them are dreading it. And we think that they don't want to go to school because they don't want to learn. They don't want to be educated. And that might be true, but it might be the environment. Don't want to deal with that stuff. It's rough. For somebody, we're praying for you because you got to go back to work. But that very place that you can't stand, and them very people that you can't stand, and that very supervisor that you can't stand, God can send you back with a different spirit. And he can send you back to the same place to look in the face of the same people and have to sit at the same desk, but with a spirit of love and peace in your spirit. For somebody here, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're going to have to release yourself from some anger and some bitterness and some feelings of revenge and vengefulness. Because whether you know it or not, you are keeping yourself imprisoned. Because you are chaining yourself to the problem. You're chaining yourself to the one who you think is causing you problems. Because you think it's your job to get revenge. And God has said, listen, vengeance is mine. And even in scripture, you know, even in scripture, and we love to quote. So it does say in the Bible that when he said to Jehoshaphat, he said, you won't have to fight in this battle. And while that does apply, there's some folk that are in battles. God is saying, not only will you not have to fight in this battle, this ain't even your battle. Y'all fighting battles that don't even belong to you. What? Deuteronomy 21 through 4. When you go out to battle against your enemies, see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up and brought you from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of a battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. And do not tremble or be terrified because of them. Verse 4. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. The doors of the church are open. That's just a word for somebody.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to First Baptist Church, WCH.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.